Amen. Now be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we're going to talk about our peace of mind, about securing our peace of mind. And when we read Psalm 91, because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. In Him you will trust. When you get that trust in Him, you got peace. You have peace. In Psalm 4, verse 8, Psalm 4, verse 8, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. When you are trusting in Him and you lay down at night, you will be able to sleep and sleep peaceably. So you need to try to pray that maybe tonight before you go to sleep. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, will keep me safe. And when you hit that pillow, your thoughts are reflecting on Him. The peace that you will have. Whew, what sleep. Peace, though. In John 16:33, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. It can't harm us, and He's already conquered it for us. Here it is, folks. He's done conquered it. Now, what are we going to do with it? There's the thing. But He wants to give us perfect peace and confidence. See, and that should give us great peace, especially with everything that's going on in the world right now and this nation of ours. But it brings us to Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. All He does, comes back to this, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. What that's saying, don't worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God's peace will guard our hearts and our minds. The peace of God operates in a way to protect our mind from external corrupting influences, and to keep it focused on God's truth through Christ Jesus. If there's one thing that interrupts our day and brings it below what we would call a good day, it's the absence of peace. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, things like bad news of what the Biden administration has just done. And he does some every day. And attacks of illness on the body. Unexpected interruptions to our schedule or our plans. And, you know, on goes the list, right? If we aren't in the right frame of mind from the very start, Satan has a much easier time robbing us of our precious peace. Because Jesus told us, he is the thief He is the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So, if we knew that no bump in the road, no life interruption could ever steal our peace again, what if we could live in total peace no matter what came our way? Sound appealing to you?
Yes, sir.
There is a way. Mm-hmm. Our peace has already been purchased, paid for, provided. It's done. And I'll use his words. It is finished. It is finished. And it echoes on through the universe. That means it isn't something that will come and go with our daily circumstances. See, it resides in us permanently. Jesus bore the chastisement of our peace so we can go free in our mind, free from mental torment, depression, panic attacks, anxiety, fear, and worry. Well, if you have those types of satanic pressures on your mind, or even thoughts of suicide, you can go free. You can go free right now. Because the debt to buy your peace has been paid.
Yes, it has.
Been paid for. We can experience the kind of peace that has nothing to do with the absence of trouble. It's a life with nothing missing, nothing broken. It's a life lived well. We need to secure our peace of mind, and it will only be found in Jesus. So let's look at securing our peace of mind. In Proverbs 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The consistently righteous man and woman, upright and in right standing with God, runs into it and is safe, high, above evil, and strong. The name of Jesus, the Word of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit are to be our go-to in everything. Whether it's raising a family, securing a good job, or making it through the latest world crisis, we can confidently rely on those three. God's Word, the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, it's power. That's power within you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All of us, no matter our walk of life or level of faith, we all need a safe haven, a safe harbor, or a safe house that we can run to. We need a place where we don't just feel secure, but one where we know without a doubt that we have a vantage point above all the stress, pressure, uncertainty, and chaos the world can throw at us day after day. Because it is day after day. What if we didn't have to go to a place to find that kind of protection and peace of mind? What if you could take your very own stronghold with you everywhere you went with 24/7? Well, good news. Done.
Yeah.
Okay? Matthew 26, verse 6. Jesus said, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet." We may be living in end times, but the end is not yet. No matter what, We have the victory through Jesus Christ. We have the victory through Jesus. Jesus assures us that even at the threat of wars and rumors of wars, there's a way we can maintain a constant peace of mind. But to do that, it's going to take some work on our part. It's going to require us to do something called tearing down, as well as building up, to secure our peace of mind in this world full of chaos. We will have to walk in God's plan A of everyday peace of mind. There is no plan B. There's no escape for us. We got to go and stay on plan A. We have to secure that peace of mind. The first thing we must do in securing our peace of mind in the world full of chaos is to clear our heads. Yeah, clear these heads, especially of all the world's ways of thinking. That's what I like with Brother Hagin when he said that. He says, you know, about our thinking. He calls it our stinking thinking. Okay? Our believing leads to our speaking. Right? And our speaking is based on the way we're thinking. Because we start thinking, the more things we think about, that's the problem. You think too much. Really? Y'all think too much. So the frame around the window's rotted. So what? Fix it. Don't worry about it. Fix it. Don't worry about it. Just fix it. You can fix it. Those are things you can fix. The other thing is, which things you can't fix, you give it to God. He can fix it. He can take care of the things that you can't take care of on your own. That's where it comes into your trusting in Him. See, because when you trust in Him, His peace comes all over you. And it doesn't mean you're going to sit back and say, oh man, I got the peace of God. No, it means He's going to give us a peace and a confidence knowing that we're able to trust Him and we'll be able to boldly go and take on what's happening in our lives, what's going on in our families. We'll be bold. We'll be bold to get involved in what's going on in politics, in our towns.
Yes, sir.
That's what that kind of peace is going to give us. It's going to give us confidence, a boldness because of Jesus Christ. Because He said, I'm giving you the peace. Now, if we have the peace, that means we are trusting in Him. Trust. Because in John 14, 27, Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift. I'm leaving you all with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. Wow, what a gift. And the peace I give you is a gift, and the world can't give it. So don't be troubled or afraid. The peace of mind Jesus offers is a gift to us and not something we can get from the world. So even though our world seems to have gone crazy off the deep end, we can have peace of mind and not be troubled or afraid. Wonder how that's even possible? Well, here's what God has to say. Under the old covenant, God promises, and He made them, to Abraham and to Moses and the people of Israel. God's offer of peace carried with it more of a sense of a physical place, a safe location where God's presence manifested. Well, let me tell you, where two or more gathered together in His name, He is in the midst of us. His presence is here in us right now in this room. Yeah, Jesus is in the service. Hallelujah. I love that. I love knowing that He's sitting there. He's listening to what's coming out of my mouth, and He's making sure the Holy Spirit brings it forth the way it needs to come across. But see, in Moses' day, it was the tent of meeting. Okay? And in King Solomon's day, it was called the temple. The temple. Now, Isaiah, you can turn Isaiah 26, verses 1 through 3. Here we can see that God was quite clear from the very beginning that the peace He extended to mankind was far more than a physical fortress for us to run to hide. It says, "Our city is strong. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter. You will keep him in perfect peace." What's he going to keep us in?
Perfect peace.
Perfect peace. "All who trust in you. All whose thoughts are fixed on you." God's thinking is that our having peace of mind while on the earth is just as necessary as the sense of peace that comes from physical safety. In fact, to Him, true peace has always been a matter of the mind. Where's the battlefield at? In the mind. If you can get peace in the mind, Jesus. Well, we can. We can secure, that peace. For us who now live under the new covenant, the Apostle Paul expounds on the truth, on exactly what was said there in the old. So you can turn to 2 Corinthians, and we'll look at chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. "It is true, we live in a body of flesh. But we do not fight like people of the world. We do not use those things to fight with that the world uses. We use the things God gives to fight with, and they have power. Those things God gives to fight with destroy the strong places of the devil. We break down every thought and proud thing that pulls itself up against the wisdom of God. We take hold of every thought and make it obey Christ." Paul's revelation to us is that peace of mind doesn't just happen. It's a battle. So we have to fight for it. Only this is a fight in our heads. It's in our heads. In John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22, Jesus, before He left the earth, He met with His disciples. And this is what He said to them. He said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you, guys. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He told them, "Peace be with you." And then He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He imparted God's Spirit into theirs, which is what happens to us when we are born again. Now you get that? Power. Yes. You are equipped with power. See, we no longer have to go find a strong tower. We are the strong tower. Amen. And the more space we give the Holy Spirit by clearing our heads of the world's way of thinking, the more peace we will enjoy no matter what's going on around us. Once the head is clear, we need to build. We need to build ourselves up. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, says, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. Do you hear that? Did you hear what I just said there? Who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. And you are living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple. You getting that? And I saved this one for Queen Victoria, because we had a little discussion about having to go and to a priest and have confession. Because the very next verse says, what's more, you are His holy priests. You are His holy priests. Who did the priest report to? To God. Guess what you're supposed to take your problem to or your confession to? God. Yeah. You are a holy priest, He tells you. You take it to God. And He is faithful and just to forgive you.
Yes, He is.
He's not going to tell you to go out there and get on your hands and knees and get on the gravel and bow down and keep, no. He's faithful and just to forgive you. Just don't do it again.
That's right.
But if you do it again, you know what? And you go to Him with a repenting heart, and He will forgive you again. That's because He loves you. He loves each and every one of us so much. He wants to see us be a success. He wants us to be a success. He has made the way for us to be a success. But do you ever notice, though, Tim, that God is into rocks and He's into building?
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Because in Isaiah 26:4, the Lord God is the eternal rock.
Yes, yes.
Matthew 7:24 says, be like a wise man who built his house on the rock.
Yes.
Matthew 16:18, upon this rock, I will build my ecclesia.
Yes,
I will build my ecclesia. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Yeah.
Those are Jesus' words. Wow. That's why the church has to get moving. And we have a group that are doing things. We're praying. People are starting to get involved in things. They're not afraid, but we're not talking the negative. We're talking God's Word.
That's right.
And that's what we got to do primarily, is speak God's Word over every circumstance, over every situation that we're faced with. Everything. Because when you sit down in your office, you have a client come in, you got to be able to talk to them, and you want to share Jesus with them in a way that doesn't offend them at first. Because sometimes you come right out, and that's what people are resentful.
Right.
Oh, well, I don't want to be talking religion. Well, we're not going to talk religion. Let me just tell you about my Jesus. It's called a relationship.
Yeah.
But when you sit down with someone who comes in your office, listen to them for a moment. They have concerns. They might be coming in to you to ask, hey, you're my advisor. What can I look forward to? This is what I've been saving for. Well, really, you shouldn't have to worry about your savings when you put it in there, because you're trusting God. He'll take care of that. If you prayed, you got the right advisor, and you're happy and you're content. And God told you, then stay where it's at and go in there. But you got to bring a peace to that person. And a lot of times, some of them don't. They get right down to the facts. But if you take time to start filling out the people, and you say, well, what is your concern? What bothers you the most? And a good advisor will be able to get you through the questions you might have in your head. Okay? Because there it comes to God again, is to our head. You know, what are you worried about? Well, what's the biggest thing? You're looking at what's going on. Our economy? And inflation. Inflation. Am I going to have enough when it comes time for me to retire? You know, there's a question yet. And he can bring it to a level where you can feel comfortable because he's going to say, you know, he'll give you all of what the statistics are and how we've done these things since World War I. How the market's done this. The market went down to like I think it was 11.6. It dropped down that low. That's how much it dropped. Dropped 11.6. But within 6 months, it had recouped that and was at a 3.6 high. You have to look at history, how it plays out. So when you see that, your mind says, okay. And you look back and say, okay, thank you, Lord. Because he knows he had to speak to you in a way that you would understand it. Because when you start reflecting and looking at that, all I'm telling you, don't worry about your investments. God's got you covered. If you're a tither, he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. But pray for those people that are over there taking care of your finances. Pray for them that God has the wisdom of putting your money in the right places. And it will grow. And you'll have enough to retire on. Because you should make good investments. And the best investment you can make is into the kingdom of God. With your tithes and your offerings. Okay? I don't know why I went there, but praise God. You know, and it's, I'm not looking at getting money for the church. That's not my thing. My thing is to make sure that you're blessed, to make sure that you know that you have the authority. Bill Kirby, that was the one thing we talked about a while back. And he come back, because I kept telling him, you can rebuke the devourer for your sake. You know, and we talked about that. And he said, wait, so you're right. So he started really standing on that. And everything had worked out for Bill. He was in a place that the insurance company said you're out. Well, he couldn't go home. Kathy and her daughter got COVID, so he couldn't go home. It'd be like telling Joe he's going to have to go home, and his wife got COVID, throwing him out of the hospital. The problem was Joe wanted out of the hospital. He told him, he says, "Get me out of here." He says, "You people ain't doing nothing." And look, they wrote him off at the hospital. Joe didn't write himself off. He believed in his God. Amen? So glory be to God for that. But Bill's the same thing. They told him, okay, listen, we can work now. You can stay here, but it's going to cost you $350 a day. And what they would supply to him was they'd make sure he got his medicines delivered in, and they'd give him some food to eat, you know, give him his meals. The rest, he was on his own. There was no more physical therapy, no nothing ever, you know. So Bill and he called and talked to me about it, and he wasn't upset, but he said, well, you know, we need prayer for that. And that's when we got into a long discussion about it again. And he said, okay. So I claimed that. Well, all of a sudden, they come back and told him, hey, we have a new part here that we can move you into that will only cost you $125 a day. They'll provide you with the meal here. So that means they were going to relocate him within the same facility, and told him, you know, you're not going to have the nursing care. You know, they'll be checking on you. And so he said, okay. But you'll get your all your meds, all that. They'll come in and check your vitals. They says we'll supply you with he'll get his meal. But they said, we'll give you physical therapies. What? Now, he over here, he's going to pay for 300. So everything worked out with Bill. He got the extra PT that he needed, all that. Prayed. I showed him. I said, that can work for the sickness that's going on in your house. We prayed about the sickness that's going on in your house. Kathy and Leslie, they all come out. They're all doing great. They all come out of COVID. They're doing great. Bill's home. He's doing great. He's a happy camper. Now, he did have a fall. He tripped over his oxygen cord, Joe. He tripped over his oxygen cord, and he face planted. Well, he was getting out, and they said, well, the doctor said, we want to see you, but they said, we need you to go get a CAT scan before you come home, or before you go home, because we just want to make sure you didn't do anything. And he said, well, I feel fine. He says, I called my pastor and we prayed. He said, my headache went away. We prayed. Well, they did a CT scan. I told him, I said, they're not going to find anything, Bill. I said, they're going to find a brain there that's healthy and whole. And he said, all right. Now he went and had his date, did the CT scan. He says, I'll let you know. He says, because Billy's going to take me there and then he'll take me home. Well, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He didn't call me no Monday. Now, I wasn't going to, but he called me. He says, I meant to call you. He said, we've given home. He says, I'm doing this and doing that. And I said, how'd the CT scan go? He said, just like you said. He said, everything's perfect. I said, okay. He says, my nose, it isn't broke either. He said, but my black eyes are tough to handle. He said, they look like a raccoon. Now, he face planted pretty good, but Bill's doing really good. They thank you for all the prayers that have gotten them through to where they're at. Like I say, Bill, he's at home. He's recovering. And he's trying to get what you got, Joe, right now, because he's still dealing with oxygen. But as I said to him, and I'm saying to you, you will be off the oxygen. You will recapture what the devil has tried to steal from you and from Bill. Your lungs are healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we're all in agreement here with that. We're not going to say, oh, I hope he's going to get better. No, you are going to get better. You're going to recover. Amen. For as long as he's been in this battle, he's not quitting now. That's why he went and bought a motorcycle. Praise God. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, we've established that God does construction work, okay? All right, so that means that, you know, we have to get a complete peace of mind, okay? It won't be enough to just destruct, okay, any bad strongholds. The devil has clearly lodged in our brains. Yeah, come on, he's done it over a long period of time here. He's planted strongholds into our head. While we're busy tearing down the bad ones, we also need to build the new ones, okay? To secure our peace of mind in the world of chaos, that we need to build ourselves up. We can see that daily. We, the Christ followers, are living stones, like Jesus, see? Cornerstone, he's alive and well. We know that. There are witnesses that saw him in his resurrected body. Hallelujah. We are God's very own personal building project, and his plans for us are nowhere but up from where we're at. They're always up. See, the challenge is too many believers are not clued in to God's good intentions for us. Remember, when once that Jesus, he was preaching in the synagogue, and if you remember, it was in Luke chapter 13, that the woman who was bent over for 18 years, while he was preaching, okay, he calls her out, and he says, woman, he says, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he touched her, and she was immediately healed. Immediately healed. You know, sadly, this woman's physical condition on the outside is a picture of what many Christians look like on the inside. Bent over, beat down, and oppressed.
Come on, Pastor.
But then along comes Jesus.
That's
amen.
Right.
And he can set you free. But you know, in this whole problem, though, in this case that we looked at, Jesus did one thing wrong as far as they were all concerned. He healed her on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing. He healed her on the Sabbath. They weren't rejoicing that she got healed.
Right.
They wanted to call him out on what he just did. Because they said, you was working. And you weren't supposed to work back then. That was their religious law. You don't work on a Sunday. Hallelujah. You know, things be the way they are. Sometimes people have to work on Sundays. But you can pray, and God makes a way for you to get a good schedule.
Yeah.
And I know someone in here who does that constantly, works and prays, and no matter what he does, he always tries to make sure he can get his Sunday to be here in church. And I got to, to say, brother, congratulations that you worked that hard, man.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Brother Anthony. He does everything he can to be here on Sunday. Even though the schedule says you're working Sunday, he makes a trade, he makes somehow or another. He works it out. Priority.
Yeah.
Priority. And he's been rewarded well because of that. Because he's got a lot of grandkids that are going to take care of him in the future. Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't know if they're going to slow down yet. But Anthony don't care. He loves them all. But anyhow, the religious leaders of that day thought that he was working. Like I say, they called him out. Bad stronghold, right? And what was Jesus' response? That was Luke 13:16. This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath? Sure, shut their mouths. In that moment, Jesus tore down a bad stronghold and built a good one. He literally stripped the devil of his oppression and built up the woman's body. He tore down deceived religious mindsets and established the truth of God's heart for all mankind. The Apostle Peter in Acts 10:38 once summed up Jesus' ministry in these words. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. In other words, Jesus went about demonstrating God's intentions for us by tearing down bad strongholds and building up good ones. See, we live under a new covenant that went into effect the moment God raised Jesus from the dead. See, at that moment we were forgiven. At that moment we were saved. And at that moment, every benefit of becoming a son or daughter of God became ours. Finally, the peace of mind our Heavenly Father intended for us to have all along was available to us. Jesus freed us from all the enemy's oppression, just like he freed that woman. Now, all that's left for us to do is to get busy building our own stronghold. We are the living stones. We do that by our words, how we speak to things. We need to speak and get comfortable speaking to things. I said things. Did I not? But we can speak to our bodies as well. But things. In Mark 4, verse 39 to 41. Here we go. Sister Vic. Jesus got up. rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and waves obey him. Jesus was in the boat. Why were they afraid? If Jesus is in your boat, will you be afraid? I'm a question for you. If Jesus is in your boat, are you going to be afraid? Well, guess what? You is the boat, and Jesus is in you, so you have nothing to fear. Nothing. You is the boat. Hallelujah. Jesus is in you. When all the world, including the devil, seems bent on pulling us down, putting us down, holding us down, even sinking our boat, that's especially the time to stand up and tell the turmoil to shut up and to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Hallelujah. It's the only way we'll ever gain and maintain any peace of mind. When King David found himself at the low point of his life or at times of intense distress, what's the Bible tell us? He encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord. That's 1 Samuel, if you want to know, chapter 30, verse 6. How did he do that? Well, just take a look at the book of Psalms. He wrote over half of it. Yeah. See, he started thinking, writing, praying, speaking, and singing. Mostly he got busy opening his mind and his mouth, making them both line up with God's word, God's promises, and God's truth about himself and whatever he was facing. And the same can be for you. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. You can gain strength. Hallelujah. Brother Dean sent out this morning, and I had it in here, so I had it before he did. But Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. David says, bless the Lord, my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits. Very simply, he told his head and his mouth what to think and to say. Told his mind, don't you forget about all those benefits. He says, and bless his holy name. That's what should be coming out of your mouth. There comes a time when we have to speak to things. And apart from speaking to the wind and the waves, what Jesus did? Well, he rebuked the fever in Peter's mother-in-law. Right? Luke chapter 4, verse 38, 39. He spoke from a great distance and a servant was healed. And that's in Matthew 8, 5 through 13. He commanded evil spirits and the sick were healed. Matthew 8, 16. He spoke to a fig tree and it died. Mark 11, 14 to 20. And he encouraged speaking to mountains, folks. You can speak to the mountain. Don't speak about it. Speak to the mountain. And he did that in Mark 11, 23. Really, more than anyone or anything else, we do well to start speaking to ourselves. We already do it, right? Mm-hmm. And I hope you're speaking to it with the word. But see, too many of you, I know, because I've been down that road. Recently, medical findings tell us that our words physically resound down through every nerve in our body. So all of us, well, listen, those things that we have been telling ourselves in our head and with our mouth are greatly impacting us. And they're also impacting our world. And they're also impacting our families. Watch what comes out of your mouth. That's why you got to get your head cleaned out. Don't be like the world.
That's right.
Maybe it's time to do ourselves a favor and to start to speak more intentionally and purposefully. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'm going to read it to you. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, this is what you can say. I'm chosen. I'm royalty. I stand before God and minister to Him. I am set apart, special to God, even possessed by Him. My primary task in life is declaring His goodness. I'm no longer in the dark about anything. God's called me personally to be with Him. That's what you can take out of that scripture. And if you do that for a week, a month, or a year, you wait and see what that does to your peace of mind. Just remember, in this world, peace at any level isn't given. We have to fight for it. But with God's Word, the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's power, we have more than a fighting chance. We have God-backed certainty that we are a strong tower and we're going somewhere. Now, we can have peace of mind no matter what our circumstances are. And here's a prayer to live in total peace that we can pray in faith. And when you pray in faith, the power of God will come upon you and deliver you. The peace of God will come into your mind, and Satan will have to leave. Why? Because the debt to buy your peace has been paid. So here's a prayer for you that I got. And there's copies out there on the table if you'd like to have them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that the chastisement of my peace was upon Jesus on the cross. And that part of redemption includes redemption from fear, anxiety, and worry. I receive that now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you have commanded us not to worry, to take no thought about our circumstances. I am asking for supernatural strength in this area, that you will grant me ability beyond what I naturally have, so I can walk and live in total peace every day, no matter what my circumstances are. When the temptation comes to worry or to be fearful, help me to resist the enemy so he will flee from me. You have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I take hold of that power today in Jesus' name. I declare I am free from fear, free from worry, free from depression and anxiety. I refuse these things in my life from this day forward, and I stand against them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless all of you.
Thank you.